Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. The Raptors Over Everything Podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the new official food of basketball. So make sure you're never missing buckets. Order yours online at kfc.ca and get it before tip-off. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors' 117-97 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I'm not going to lie to you, this was very easy for the Raptors. The Cavaliers, I count at least two times, maybe three, that they just threw the ball out of bounds for seemingly no reason. Not sure why they did that. Not sure why a professional basketball team would consistently fail to throw outlet passes. But yeah, you know, nevertheless, I'm happy the Raptors close it out with a professional effort. Look, the Raptors are now 17-0 against teams under 500. And that's in large part, when you go 17-0, that's how you win 70 games in a calendar year. I mean, of course, it helps to go to the NBA Finals and win the NBA Finals. That definitely helps. Those 16 added wins help. But yeah, the Raptors close out the year of 2019 properly with a very professional effort. You know, at no point did I feel like the game was in doubt. It's kind of a stress-free game, which is kind of, you know, good. You know, there haven't been a lot of stress-free games since the injuries, since Pascal and Norm and Gasol have gone out. Sort of been, every game has been a dogfight. And even the Raptors win, it's a fight. If the Raptors lose, people are fighting in the comments and stuff like that. But yeah, this was just nice, chill, easy. Like, again, thank you to the Cavs. Not a very professional team. I don't know what they're doing. Kevin Love, you know, I already talked about Kevin Love in the last time the Raptors played the Cavs, so won't rag too much on Kevin Love. Although there's one possession where I forget who drove into the middle of the paint, but Love was the help defender standing right at the rim. He was in position. He literally just turned and let the guy drive in for a layup. And all the Cavaliers stared at him like, bro, are we a joke to you? And it's like, yeah, I mean, pretty much. Kevin Love wants to leave. But the Raptors, yeah, a very professional win. You know, a very efficient outing in terms of the way they played offensively. Defensively, not too much intensity, but, you know, you didn't need to play too much intensity against the Cavs. They're just not a very good team overall. And, you know, they showed it tonight. I mean, you know, it's really sad. I mean, if you take away the bigs in the middle with the Cavaliers, and I would say Tristan and Kevin Love are probably two of their best players, but if you take those two guys away, like, I don't know, the rest of the guys are just kind of fine. Like, no matter how many points Colin Sexton scores or Darius Garland scores or even Kevin Porter Jr. off the bench scores, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, their big man is just kind of like the hub of the team. If they win, they need Love and Tristan to be great, and the Love and Tristan were not great tonight. I thought the Raptors, you know, so first off, bit of a surprise before the game, but Nick Nurse announced that, you know, he was going to change the starting lineup. He didn't say who was going to be the change, but shortly before tip-off, it was announced that OG was going to come off the bench and Rondé was going to be promoted to the starting lineup. That was surprising for... Well, I mean, it's surprising, it's not surprising. It was surprising because Nurse had benched Rondé a lot. Like, Rondé against OKC played only 3 minutes. It was in one quick shift where he committed three fouls and had two turnovers and was benched, and he whipped his headband, you know, and he came out of the game. So it was surprising in that sense because, I haven't really sensed a lot of favoritism towards Rondé from Nick Nurse this year. If anything, Nurse has been not unnecessarily harsh, but just like, what's the best way to describe the way Nick Nurse has said with Rondé? It's just like he's treated him, you know, kind of just like, you know, that kid in class that doesn't pay attention and is just, you know, just is not giving him special treatment whatsoever. Anytime he does anything well, he's like, well, you know, Rondé's not very skilled and stuff like that. So, again, I've just been very surprised with the way, not Rondé's been treated. I think it's not surprising that, you know, he's had a hard time coming into the team because the Raptors do have a lot of depth. But I think it was just surprising because Nurse has been, you know, not, you know, just, he hasn't really given any Ronnie any handouts. But it was also not surprising in the sense that, A, I think for the matchup, I think Ronde plays a little bit better at power four than OG does. OG has the strength for it, but just traditionally, he has not played well as a four. I actually asked him preseason if he identified more as a three or more as a four, and he said definitely more of a three. And it's his effectiveness is always better as a three. If you looked at the matchup, I mean, you wanted somebody out there to neutralize Kevin Love. Not saying OG couldn't have done it, but you know, I think Ronde was probably better equipped for it. So maybe the matchup was good too. Now, granted, I don't think Nurse is going to be matching up against the Cavaliers all that much. Let's be real. You could, I mean, I don't know. They could have started O'Shea Brissett and won this game. But, you know, it's also not that surprising because OG had been really struggling. And I covered that on the last podcast against OKC where he went 0 for 7 from the from the three-point arc. And, you know, he had been shooting a very miserable 11 of 60 from 3 before this game, the 10 games before that. In the 5 games before that, OG hit 2 of 19 from 3. So it's not all that surprising that he will come out of the starting lineup. It's, you know, he has definitely not dominated the game by any means. So yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. But I'll say for this game at least, it worked out really well because you compare what OG and Ronde gave you in last game against OKC, like the two of them combined for like I think 6 points, missed a bunch of shots, did not really play well at all. Not that good defensively, to be honest. Neither of them really got a chance to guard Chris Paul or Shea, and those are the two guys that were hurting the Raptors. You compare it to what they did today, much better. Now, granted, obviously, you play the Cavs, you're going to be a lot better. But Ronde in the starting lineup, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Was very persistent in attacking the rim, got to the free throw line 5 times. Honestly, the juxtaposition between how hard Ronde plays and how much Kevin Love hates his job was really funny to watch. Ronde just, you know, going to the rim all the time, and Love, for the most part, just taking a bunch of jumpers, not really playing defense at all. And then OG responded really well to the benching. OG actually ended up playing more minutes than Ronde. OG came off the bench, played 30. That's the most he's played in a while. And OG was solid, was really solid. Like, you know, his first shift, he came into the game. First couple possessions, didn't really get it. Nurse calls timeout. Out of the timeout, the play is for OG going one-on-one against Kevin Porter. Sort of a clear out in the post. OG sort of, you know, OG is very strong in the post. And just basically put the rookie onto the rim and went in for a layup. That was nice to see. Then shortly after that, to end the quarter, about 3.6 seconds left, play again, run for OG, where Raptors sort of had to quickly inbound and get a shot up on a short shot clock situation. OG comes off a screen, turns around, catches, and fires in the three. Pretty impressive. You rarely see OG shoot, catch and shoot on the move. You know, he's mostly a standstill shooter. So for him to hit that shot was nice. So he started 2 for 2, then he hit a corner three, and I was like, all right, he's doing some things. And I thought OG just sort of maintained that momentum throughout. Like, this is not a sensational beginning by OG by any means. This honestly was very typical of what OG did at the start of the season, if you look at the numbers. 12 points, 5 of 8 shooting from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, you know, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, plus 13 in 30 minutes. Like, that is what OG was giving you at the start of the year. And of course, you know, he had the eye injuries. He got, you know, clawed in the eye by Kawhi, and it was very unfortunate. And he got hit in the eye, you know, again, shortly thereafter, I think against Sacramento. And tonight, actually, he got hit in the eye again, which is, I mean, bro, what is going on? Stop hitting OG's eyes. But yeah, you know, like, this is what he was giving at the start of the season. He's capable of giving you this. And if he gives you this consistently, man's going to be back in the starting lineup. No problem. Now, Nurse said after the game, you know, in part it was due to matchups with Kevin Love. In part it was due to, you know, he wanted to shuffle the lineup to see what was going on. And he also said that, you know, it wasn't a punishment on the part of OG. Like, he wasn't trying to send him a message or anything like that. Nurse doesn't really operate that way. Let's be real. He doesn't try to show up his players. He's pretty frank with what he says. And sometimes that comes across as real blunt. You know, just look back at what he said about Ronde and Stanley Johnson at the start of the season. But, you know, he doesn't really try to show up his guys. I think he likes OG. I think, you know, OG had been struggling. It's not unusual to try something out. And, yeah, I mean, you know, the positive is that OG responded positively, right? He could have sulked. He could have become more withdrawn. He could have showed a lack of effort. He could have taken it the wrong way. He didn't take it the wrong way. In fact, one of the things I really liked the most about OG tonight was on one play, he had a turnover, forced a little bit offensively, got the ball stripped from him. It was a 3-on-1 fast break. You know, Kyle Lowry, you know, just as a lone man back, defending against three guys. Kyle actually is in good position, challenges the first shot. You know, the shot, it gets missed. And then on the rebound, it looked like the Cavs were going to get an easy putback, but OG was the first one to sprint down the floor after, you know, Lowry, obviously, and blocked the shot out of bounds and swatted the ball. And I actually got the Raptors to stop. And, you know, I don't know, man. It's the Cavaliers. Nobody was making a lot of effort out there. The Cavs weren't playing hard, and the Raptors didn't have to play hard to beat them. But I like that OG played with that intensity, not just to erase his own mistake, but just like, hey, look, listen, you're on the spotlight now. I watched OG very closely. I'm sure a lot of people watched OG very closely after a game where he gets benched, you know, and he responded well. So that was positive. The other thing that came out of tonight's game that was really fun was the fourth quarter. Terrence Davis, man. Love this kid. He matched his career high with 19 points. It's weird always talking about rookies' career highs when it's like he's only played like 30 games. It's weird to talk about career high. But yeah, man, Terrence was good. Really good tonight. 19 points. 14 of those came in the fourth quarter there. I would have wished the Raptors gave him one more shot just to get to his first 20-point game. It would have been nice. But, you know, nevertheless, 19 is very, very good. He had 14 in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter was very fun. You know, he was just relentlessly attacking and looking for his offense. And the first three shots that Terrence hit in the fourth quarter were all driving kick sequences from Fred VanVleet. You know, Fred had two, he would attack. The Cavs would try to collapse on him. And then, boom, he'd swing the ball. And, you know, Terrence was there. Terrence did a really good job of also repositioning himself so he'd be available and free on the catch and reading the play to get to an open spot. But then, you know, after that, the Raptors call timeout. Nurse draws up a play. And, you know, this might be one of the first times all season where Nurse has drawn up a play for the rookie, the undrafted rookie. And the Raptors have been running the hammer play a lot. Last year they ran it a lot, obviously, for Danny Green. This year they run it for the most part for Kyle Lowry and occasionally for Fred VanVleet. They ran it for Terrence Davis tonight. And same kind of deal, you know, on one side of the floor, Fred VanVleet's opting to pick and roll. And he drives towards the baseline, then whips a pass, you know, around the defenders on the baseline into the opposite corner for Terrence Davis, who rises up, hits the three. And, you know, it was just, he was in a rhythm after that. You know, TD caught a pass off a curl. And this is your KFC bucket of the game, by the way. We get into it early. But, yeah, Terrence Davis comes off a curl from Serge Ibaka, catches the pass from Kyle Lowry, splits two Cavaliers defenders, and finishes strong with a two-handed dunk. It was very impressive. He gets a foul call as well. Yeah, he was roaring to the crowd. It was very nice to see. You know, Terrence is really soft-spoken. You know, really nice guy. You know, it's not surprising that him and Fred combine on so many shots. He assisted Fred for a three in the first quarter, and Fred hit him with three threes in the fourth quarter. You know, it's been said many times on this pod, but, you know, Fred has taken Terrence under his wing. They did that. He did that at the start of the summer. You know, Terrence got drafted. The two of them played together at the Rico Hines runs where, like, there was, like, 10 Raptors there. You know, before the season started, they were back in Toronto. Fred takes Terrence out for dinner and teaches him everything from, like, financial literacy to, like, how to operate a pick and roll. Like, all the good stuff, really, you know. And yeah, I mean, they've just looked out for each other. I mean, there's a lot of moments when you see him in practice or in scrums or whatever. It's very clear that, like, you know, like, Terrence is basically Fred VanVleet's Padawan. If you're a Star Wars fan or if you're not, like, just a protege, like, It's like that. It's real adorable, you know. They give each other a lot of love. You know, every time Terrence has a media scrum, Fred usually comes over and teases him and talks about how he's big time or says he's talking too much or stuff like that. So, it's nice to see. They definitely got a nice connection. They connected for four threes tonight. It was nice to see. And then everything else is just, I don't know, man. Everything was working for the Raptors. I mean, like, nobody really had a bad game. Like, it was. I mean, McCaw kind of got hard fouled by Chetty Osman early in the game, and he had to come out. But he returned to the game. He was fine. So it was like, all right, cool. McCaw gives you the typical DeMarcus All stat line of 6 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists in 22 minutes. You know, Fred missed a couple of shots near the rim. He got called for a tech. I mean, honestly, he could have got a couple more calls, is what I'm trying to say. But whatever. You could also finish a couple more layups. Not a bad game for Fred, though. I would say it's just average, okay. He was really good defensively. He had 4 blocks, which is a little wild. I mean, I would say some of those were steals more than blocks, but whatever. He did get Kevin Love once, too, which was kind of nice. I like the way Kyle Lowry played tonight. Very much in control, 36 minutes, 24 points, 8 assists, and only one turnover. Just in complete control of the game, man. The one thing I like from Kyle nowadays is like he's really mixing up his offense. I felt like last 2 years in particular, maybe last 3 years really, but you know, the Raptors have made more of an emphasis to shoot the three-pointer. And then, of course, DeMar DeRozan was there to sort of operate in the mid-range area. And then after he was traded for Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi did a lot of his operating in the mid-range area. So in order to just create space and not crowd up the floor, especially with Pascal also emerging as a guy who, honestly, he operated in the post and operated in the mid-range area a lot, especially in this year now. Kyle had to just really be a guy who went to the rim or shot threes. And that was always two parts of his games that were great and made him a really efficient player. But also one part that was sort of lost was that Kyle's always been a really good mid-range player as well. He definitely has the ability to create a shot from there. One of the most memorable shots from Kyle Lowry, I remember as a Raptor, was the pull-up over Matthew Dellavedova for the Raptors to beat LeBron's Cavs. It was just a great play. I think that was the play that created the iconic photo of DeMar DeRozan hugging Kyle Lowry, very tenderly, I would say, and Kyle Lowry looking back at him. But, you know, I'm not trying to describe the Titanic or anything, but it's kind of similar, to be honest. But yeah, Kyle has always been a really good mid-range player, and especially with Pascal going down and Kyle elevating as to that main playmaker role, he's been doing a lot more scoring, and a lot more of that scoring has come from the mid-range area. And honestly, I don't hate it. Like, I know it's not necessarily the most efficient shot, but if you're Kyle and you need to get space and try to get defenders to get up on you and stuff like that, like, if defenders are going to just take away the rim and the three-point arc, I don't want to see him force a shot necessarily. I want to see him get to the mid-range. That's one of the areas that separates Kyle from Fred. Like, Fred doesn't have that same mid-range game that Kyle does. Kyle's very smart about it. Like, he had a quick turnaround jumper, mid-range area, that he pulled out in the first quarter against, I think, Colin Sexton. He had the same move against Kemba Walker for his 30th point on the night against the Celtics the other night. And then he had one in the third quarter where he collects he had Kevin Love sort of guarding him. I put even guarding in air quotes, man. I mean, Kevin Love guarding people these days is a rare sight. But, I mean, you know, Kyle had Kevin Love on him and hit him with a quick baseline jumper, you know, also from the mid-range area. And it's just like, yeah, I missed that part of his game. And Kyle, at this point right now, Kyle's in such a good groove where he's scoring at all levels, and that's when you're really effective as a scorer. When you can hit the three, and he hit 4 threes tonight. He took 12 attempts, but whatever, 4 threes is 4 threes. You get to the rim, you get fouled, and on top of that, he's hitting the mid-range shot. So Kyle's in a great rhythm. He's in a great groove. If you look at it tonight, I mean, like 8 assists and 24 points, only one turnover. That's freaking amazing. And also, even just, like, the minor stuff. Like, if you watch Kyle and the way he sort of interacts with his guys, like, one play, Terrence Davis overplayed a passing lane, allowed the backdoor cut, and the guy scored. And Kyle looked at him afterwards and was like, yo, what the hell are you doing? Like, don't do that again. And then another play, Rondes gets a little wild, throws a pass away, and Kyle tells him, like, calm down. Just chill, man. You always have no chill whatsoever, Ronde. And even in, you know, even in the to end of the third quarter there, Kyle was the last man back in transition against Kevin Porter Jr. And Porter went up for a layup. Kyle sort of got his hand right underneath and poked the ball free. And the referee called for a foul. Lowry immediately gestured to Nick Nurse, told him, yo, review that. Review that. Nurse then looked at the screen, saw that it was a clean strip. and reviewed the play, and Kyle won the, you know, won the challenge. Or, I mean, Nurse won the challenge, but really Kyle won the challenge. So Kyle just, he was great tonight. You know, again, he's done a lot more to a lot better teams of late, so this is not surprising, but Kyle was masterful. And the last guy I really want to praise is, you know, Serge Ibaka, man. Just a really efficient outing, you know. I'm not saying Tristan Thompson is the hardest guy to guard, but it does take a lot of energy out of you because he is a guy who works relentlessly on the glass, loves playing here in Toronto. And, you know, Serge is a little undersized as compared to Tristan, especially in terms of strength. And, you know, the Raptors did do a really good job of sending help, you know, whether it was McCaw or Fred or Kyle, Rondé, whoever it was a lot of swarming and gang rebounding to sort of make sure they would collect the missed shot. And the Cavaliers as a whole only had 8 offensive rebounds. Now, Tristan did grab 4 of them, but still, it's a manageable number. And honestly, Serge did a pretty good job himself. I mean, he got 10 rebounds in 33 minutes, and Tristan Thompson got 11 in 32. So if you're telling me Tristan only collects one more rebound than Serge, I'm pretty happy with that matchup, especially considering Serge also gave you 20 points with 8 of 11 shooting with 2 threes. So, you know, I like the way Serge played. Now, I wish, you know, his pick and roll chemistry with Fred was better. Like, you know, he fumbled a lot of passes for Fred, but hey, man, you can't have everything. So, yeah, that was great. Boucher came in, gave a lot of great activity, 2 steals, a block, 16 minutes, you know, chasing down loose balls. The offensive rebound to start the game was really nice. It really set the tone for the energy. You know, what's his name? Pascal Siakam, and Norman Powell were both on the bench, which is great. They both wore the same, plum suit, which is pretty adorable. Both, just a plum suit with a black shirt underneath and a chain. You know, I don't know. Maybe they're going to this, some sort of themed party later tonight. It is New Year's Eve. Funny enough, what's his name? You know, Jamal McGlure was also wearing that same thing. Not the chain. He had a tie on because he's assistant coach. But also, I don't know, man. I think Jamal McGlure, of all assistant coaches, would be the first one to wear a chain instead of a tie. That would be actually pretty badass. But yeah, he also had the same purple suit on. But he's had that one on in the past. So I think it's just a coincidence there. Marcus All was there too. He actually went on the broadcast, gave like an extremely earnest broadcast. You know, like usually when people join the broadcast, or maybe I'm just thinking about Drake, but usually like when Drake joins the broadcast, for example, it's all jokes. You know, they're laughing and they're making fun of players. It's a great time. You know, they try to just like, you know, yuck it up. Well, Marcus All went in there. Mark was real serious about the whole thing, man. He was calling out coverages. He's calling out passes, you know, talking about giving up a good shot for a great shot. And I was like, wow, he's taking this so, so seriously. And, you know, it was just a fun night altogether, man. I mean, like, the Raptors, again, if you look back on this, and I tweeted it out and I wrote it in 10 things, but, you know, the way the Raptors started this decade, they were freaking nobodies. Like, I mean nobodies. Nobody give a crap about the Raptors. They were signing Hedo Turkoglu, and that was like the biggest signing in franchise history. And he was terrible, and he got traded immediately for Leandro Barbosa. But yeah, there were nobodies, man. Look at that 2010-2011 season. They win 22 games. The following season after that, 23 games. I'm watching so I can see Pops Mensah-Bonsu. You know, I'm cheering for, you know, I don't even know, like, just trash players, like, you know, just the most random guys who come through. David Anderson will show up. Pedro Stojakovic was here for 2 games. Respect the guy. He has like a PER of 37 as a Raptor. Look it up. You know, it was just bad, man. A lot of Jarrett Jack, a lot of praying for Ed Davis and getting excited when he had a double-double and a 25-point loss. And they're basically what the Cavaliers are now. You know, they started the first 3 seasons there. 22 wins, 23 wins, and then 34 wins. If you tile it up, that's 79 wins in 3 seasons combined. No, never sniffed the playoffs. Jose Calderon gets traded. Ed Davis gets traded. They bring in Rudy Gay. He's a terrible fit. They bring in Kyle Lowry. At the time, he was, you know, real thick and, like, did not really have the same swagger as he did now. I mean, no idea that, you know, they were going to turn it around. You go from those 3 seasons to this past year, this past calendar year, 2019, the Raptors have 70 wins in the calendar year. Just think about that. On 70 nights, and there's, what, 365 days of the year. 70 of those nights, so 1/5, the Raptors were giving you entertainment in the form of a win, and sometimes in the form of a playoff win, sometimes in the form of a game seven win, you know, beating Milwaukee on the road here, sweeping Milwaukee, you know, sweeping the Magic as well, but definitely sweeping Milwaukee. That was hilarious. And then going on to win the championship and everything like that. It's just been just an incredible, incredible turnaround for the Raptors in this past decade. And the two guys, I mean, there's lots of guys responsible for it. You know, Dwayne Casey played a huge part in that. DeMar DeRozan played a huge part in that. JV played a huge part in that. Serge Ibaka, all the guys in the championship team played a great part in that. Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, the bench mob, everybody. Nick Nurse, obviously, you know, not even just before he was the actual head coach, even as an assistant, he was doing some damage. Remember when he revamped the team's offense and they won 59 games and Nick Nurse got all those profiles? It was great, you know. You know, a lot of people did a lot of things, but the two guys, you know, are, I mean, even the front office, you know, Dan Tolsman and the scouting staff, Bobby Webster being the general manager, but you know, it just the whole team obviously gets a lot of credit, and who they, where they are now is great, but the two people that deserve the most credit, Kyle Lowry and Masai Ujiri, the two of those guys. I mean, we just have to. We're so blessed to be in the golden age of the Raptors. Like, this past decade has been incredible. And this past year has been insane. By far the best year in Raptors franchise history. So, I'm so happy that Kyle has been here through this whole process. I'm so happy that Masai has been here through this whole process. It's made the team really fun to root for. Not just because they win. Not just because they're professional. But because of who they are as people. You know, like, it just makes the team really fun to watch. You know, Masai is a man of pure heart. And you know, Kyle Lowry is just an incredible, incredible competitor. And he's willed them, not just in the last 70 wins in the last calendar year, but just for the last like 7 years. So, thankful for the Raptors. And in terms of the three stars from tonight's game, first star, I'm going to have to Kyle Lowry, 24 points, 8 assists, only one turnover, 36 minutes, very efficient outing. Second star, giving that to Terrence Davis, the rookie, 19 points, 4 rebounds and assists, completely atoning for that OKC performance where he forgot to foul. Again, that wasn't his fault. I mean, it wasn't, the game wasn't his fault. You know, the Raptors could have done a lot of other things to reverse that result there. But, I mean, it was a pretty terrible brain fart at the end. And Terrence, you know, atoned for it. He had 19 points. Great effort tonight. And then third star, you can go a lot of ways with it. But personally, I'm giving it to OG. 12 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 30 minutes, 5-8 from the field, 2-3 from deep. Nice bounce back performance. Took the benching the right way. And if he keeps doing things like this, he'll be back in the starting lineup. So in terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, I guess I'll give that to Colin Sexton, 22 points. I love point guards that have stat lines like this, man. 22 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. This is a Norman Powell-ass performance. You know, except, you know, come on, Norman's way better than Colin Sexton is right now. But, yeah, I mean, 22 points. I mean, at least he had 22 points. That's, I don't know, man. It's hard to find good things to say about the Cavaliers. So, that does it for the podcast. Before I sign off and go celebrate New Year's Eve and things like that, I want to say a very, very sincere thank you to everybody who has supported, you know, just all the work that we do here at Yahoo Sports Canada. You know, it's been, for me personally, the best year of my professional life. You know, I started it at The Score and was working as a features editor, and that was an amazing job. But when the opportunity came to cover the Raptors, especially in a year when, you know, they had, I don't know, one of the best players on the planet and could potentially go to the finals, I had to jump on that chance. I was very lucky that, you know, Yahoo saw the vision, you know, Dan Tolman and Mac and guys like that. I mean, they really saw the potential here. They took a chance, and they brought me on. And honestly, like, It's been a phenomenal experience. Like, if you just, if I think about 2019, a lot of it is work related, and in a good way, like in a really, really good way. Like, I got to travel for the first time. I got to go to the playoffs. I was at every single playoff game for the Raptors winning the championship. I was, you know, I was there. I was in the locker room when the Raptors won the title. I got champagne spread on me. I got, you know, corks and collectibles and bottles and towels and shit from the locker room that I'll never forget. And I'll keep it in a box with my, my credential, and you know, I got to be on the court and see the Raptors hoist a trophy. And I got to see all the fans like hours after the game. I'm talking real hours, like more than 1 hour after the game. Three full sections of Raptors fans in Oakland, singing "O Canada," chanting CBC, just doing everything, and it's just an amazing scene. See some friends in that crowd. A couple of people pointing at me, you know, shouting me out, and that's like, just like, you know, I'm incredibly thankful. It's 2019 was an sensational year, the parade and everything like that, obviously, and honestly, none of it would have been possible without the people supporting the work. I am so eternally grateful for that. You know, it's always been sort of a pipe dream to do something like this and cover the team. And, you know, there was a lot of people that supported me just when I was running a Patreon, because I was doing it on the side. And I'm so thankful to people who did that. And everyone who has listened or read an article or liked a tweet or, I don't know, watched Run It Back on YouTube. Like, it's just... it's been sensational. The Raptors fan base is definitely full of love. There's a lot of new people in the fan base now. It's bigger than ever, but it's still the same spirit. It's the same ethos. It's a very, very loving fan base. It's incredibly diverse fan base. It's just a really welcoming place. And so I'm really, really, really thankful to everyone who has supported the show. And so, for the last time in 2019, thanks for listening to the podcast. Thank you to KFC for sponsoring the show. And, you know, have a safe New Year's Eve if you're somehow listening to this still in 2019. But otherwise, Happy New Year. And I'll be back to recap the Raptors Heat game. Looking for some revenge there.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.